reading to you from the 36th Psalm. No, it's a 37th Psalm, 28th verse. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 45 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Jesus ever since. Friends, I have a special prayer request tonight for a dear friend of mine, Morris Honkoop. Morris was the first man that ever got me interested in radio. He's a man that put his money where his mouth was, but he's in trouble right now. He's had a couple strokes, and he's in a rest home. I had the privilege of talking to him the other day on the cell phone. Oh, it was so good to hear his voice, and he sounded cheered up, and I told him, I said, you know, Morris, I'd sure, in May, when we come out there, Lord willing, the creek don't rise, I would sure like to stop and sit down and have a long chat. Boy, we did a lot of things together. We got a tent and went out all around the country trying to set the world on fire, but the matches got wet. But we had a wonderful time. Well, listen, I'll be with you for an hour tonight. Why don't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a cup of coffee or a glass of tea, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, would you unite your heart with me in prayer at this time? Gracious Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, how I thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. I thank you, Lord, for these past 45 years. Lord, I never dreamed a year after I was saved that you'd call me to preach. I was going to be a roofing contractor and spend the rest of my life in Seattle. But since then, Lord, we've been in Japan and Alaska and Mexico and the Caribbean telling the good news of salvation, and especially on radio station KPOF. Thank you, dear Lord, for these wonderful years. I pray tonight for Morris and his wife. God, I pray you'll get him out of that rest home and get him back home where he belongs. And I pray, Lord, that we'll get to go see him if we get to go out the West Coast in May. Now, Father, I pray that you'll take care of the spiritual and physical financial needs of all of our radio listening family. Take care of the needs of this broadcast. Lord, I pray that you'll lift up Jesus, hide me behind the cross, honor the word, and I pray you'll save that man, that woman who don't know where they're going to spend eternity. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. Start off asking a couple of questions like I like to do once in a while. Have you received a gift from God? And what is the most important gift that you can receive from God? Well, that's salvation. And the thing is, what I don't understand, that there's so many people out there who knock Christianity. They say we're a bunch of dingbats. And they say that men come from monkeys or amoebas, and then they say they speak about evolution and all that nonsense. But when you try to tell them that they're wrong, they get furious. Just like I was talking to a couple of homosexuals. They got mad at me, and they called me a bigot. Well, I said, son, don't call me a bigot. Talk to the Lord. He's the one that wrote this book. He's the one that made the rules. And if you want to reject them, you surely can. You know, you're a free moral agent. You know, I've told you people time and again, you can live your life any blessed way you want to. And I'm not going to try to stop you. But when you die, just like the rich man, Remember, he cried out and wanted Lazarus to just dip his finger in cool water and put it on his tongue, for he was in torment in these flames. And then, not only did he want that to happen, then he wanted to tell someone to go back and tell his five brethren that there is such a thing as a burning hell. Now, friends, listen, I don't take pleasure and stomping my feet and beating on my Bible and foaming at the mouth and tell that I'm a hellfire brimstone preacher, because I deny that. But I will tell you this much. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And if you think I'm kidding, you take the Bible, the New Testament, and read what Jesus had to say about eternal punishment or a burning hell. Much more did he talk about that than he talked about heaven. Why? Because he sure didn't want you and I to go to that place. And friends, when I was a lost alcoholic, I knew deep down in my heart that I was lost. But what I could not understand and couldn't get through my brain, that God loved sinners. Now, the Bible said we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God loves you, and how do I know that? Because of what Jesus did on the cross. For God so loved you and me that he gave his only one begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. That is the greatest love story I have ever heard in my life. In Job 32:8, but there is a spirit in a man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. The gift of understanding. That's a lot of Christians don't seem to possess that. They don't sense. When they go into a restaurant to eat, they don't sense that this waitress or waiter waiting on them is a possibility they're lost, doomed, and damned on the road to hell. We don't seem to care. The other day, I had lunch by myself. My wife was working, and I was too lazy to go home and make me a lunch. So, and the little waitress was a very nice waitress. She was very, very nice and very friendly. Did a good job. And before she left, I said, "Young lady, please let me tell you something just quickly." I said, 1953, I was walking the streets of Seattle out of my mind with fear and with alcoholism. And I said, I called a preacher out of bed at 3 a.m. And I said, he told me the most beautiful love story that I've ever heard in my life. Told me that God loved me and that through Christ I could be forgiven of my sins and I could be delivered from the curse of alcohol. And she just, her eyes lit up. I doubt very much that anyone has ever taken the time to tell that young lady that story. Hey, friends, listen to me. You don't have to be an alcoholic to have a testimony. You don't have to have a hair-raising testimony. But you need to tell them what Jesus did for you when you were a sinner. Now, friends, you know it and I know it. There's only two kind of sinners. There's a lost sinner and a saved sinner. You say, but Cecil, you know, you really believe in eternal life, don't you? I certainly do. Why? Because God said it was. He said, no man will pluck you out of my hand. Friends, if you really, really want to get happy. Now, friends, and please try to understand what I'm trying to say. I'm not putting down anybody. But if you don't believe that God can save you forever, you, in fact, are calling God a liar. And you wouldn't deliberately go out on the street. And if you saw Jesus walk down there, would you walk up and say, you're nothing but a liar? Of course you wouldn't. You'd be scared to death, or you'd be stupid if you did. But that's what people say, that God's salvation is depending, you're saved by his grace, but you're kept saved by your good works. It isn't going to happen. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man boast. Well, hey, again, he saves us by grace, and that gift of God is eternal life. He gives it to us. We reach out by faith and take it, but he gives it to us. Remember, for God so loved the world, he gave. God has always been on the giving end. That's right. He's always giving. And I'll tell you something else that you may not believe. He absolutely wants to bless you even more than you want to be blessed. That's the truth. In Ecclesiastes 2:26, "For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit." He gives according to the character of this man. I've told you before, I sure had no idea that God was going to call me to preach. And there's another problem that we find in the world today. There are many, many, many men in this world who are preaching who are not called to preach. They thought preaching would be a good, respectable job, and it is. But if you're going to be a preacher, you better be ready to take a tongue lashing now and then. And you're not going to be loved like you think you're going to be loved. Preachers are not loved. Oh, you might love a little. You might love your pastor a little bit. But let him say something that you don't agree with and watch you get mad as an old wet hen. Now, in Isaiah, and I love this, Isaiah 54, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season. To him that is weary, he wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned." Now, I've said this before. I never had an opportunity to go to seminary and said, "Well, what are you preaching for?" Well, in the first place, I was called by God. Secondly, seminary can either make a, well, I guess it can make a better preacher. The more knowledge you have of the word makes you a better preacher. But let me tell you what. He gives us who know Christ the words of the learned, a tongue of the learned. When I go to prison, I sure don't depend upon my wisdom or my ability to talk to those men and women. First of all, beloved, it's God's Holy Spirit that draws people's hearts. He's the one that anoints any speaker that's working for the Lord. If he anoints you, then, and you're going to preach his message, then you're going to see results. And if you're not anointed of God, and I don't go around bragging, "Well, hey, I'm one of those anointed men." I don't do that. If there's anointing on my speaking, it's because God gave it, not because I earned it, not because I asked for it necessarily, but he gives it. And he gives you the thoughts and the wisdom of the learned. Hey, you remember when those fellows said, look at that John and him. They're so ignorant and unlearned. But the thing that they couldn't get off their mind, but they had been with Jesus. That's the difference. You know, I don't believe the Bible even teaches that we ought to be silent disciples. Well, you can see Christ in my life. Well, you may be able to see Christ in my life, but the Bible said faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So you go out and tell people what you have found out about Christ. That's why. If you don't have a salvation experience with the Lord, you cannot tell people about something that you didn't have. Now, I've told you time and time again that my wife, bless her heart, was raised in Sunday school. And when I got saved, she could not understand what had taken place in my life. She knew there was an immediate change, but she didn't know why. Now, she told me, "I don't believe that I'm a bad enough sinner that I have to be saved." Friends, the Bible said we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, so she'd hear testimonies in church. We used to have testimony meeting every Sunday night, a couple, three testimonies. And she told me one night, "You know, I wished I could do that." Why? She couldn't do it because she had no testimony. Otherwise, she did not know Jesus as her personal Lord and Savior. Now, we go home Sunday night, and boy, I didn't need a six-pack of beer and a pack of cigarettes to go to sleep. I mean, we lived on the beach, and you hear the water breaking over the porch, and I could go right to sleep. Boy, I could go to sleep. In the middle of the night, she woke me up, and she told me this. "I never drank. I never cussed. I never smoked." To her, that was the only sins in the world. And friends, I was a baby Christian myself. So all I said, because the Lord gave it to me, I'm not smart enough, I wasn't smart enough to remember it. Well, Gene, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I turned around and went back to sleep. Now, here's what she said she did. I laid there in bed, and I was thinking about your life, leaving home at 3 o'clock or 2:30 in the morning, drunk as a crazy man, and 5 o'clock you came home in a right mind and a smile on your face, a song in your heart, and a skip in your step. I knew that something had taken place in your life, but I did not know what it was. Well, what do we say? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you keep hearing the word spoken, or if you read the word, and the Spirit of the living God is going to tug at your heart, he's going to reveal that this is the truth. Now, there's not many books. Now, you go to high school, you go to grade school, there's not many books that you can depend on being the truth. They're just man's ideas. But this book was written under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit and written down by Spirit-filled men who wrote this book under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit. Now, you know this book is true. How do I know it's true? Because it changed my life completely and delivered me from the curse of alcohol. Oh, I'm not proud of my life. Oh, I'm not proud. I've thought about it so many times. I just robbed my children of happiness. I robbed my wife of happiness. She didn't know whether I'd bring enough money home to pay the rent or buy groceries, and most of the time I didn't. And you think I didn't feel terrible? If you think I was a happy drunk, you're wrong. See, in my heart, my folks were both Christians, and they died. And I prayed since I was at least 4 years old. But praying doesn't make you a Christian. Reading the Bible doesn't make you a Christian. Jesus makes you the Christian when he comes into your heart, takes out the heart of stone, gives you the heart of flesh, and then when you're born again, you understand exactly what the Bible has to say. You see, friends, I had never read the Bible but just a teeny-weeny bit. But after I was saved, I couldn't get enough of God's Word. I never dreamed he was calling me to any specific job, but I found out that he loved me and that he wanted something for my life. And every one of you who know Jesus tonight has a call upon your life. You say, you've got to be kidding. No, I'm not kidding you. You have a call upon your life. And until you find that call, and if you never find a call in life, you of all people will be most miserable. Now read the 12th chapter of Romans, presenting your body a living sacrifice. Read that. Read it over again and find out what the perfect will of God is for your life. I told you before, I've pastored churches. I've been a director of rescue missions. I've worked in full-time evangelism. I've been on radio for 35 years. But the happiest, most wonderful time in my life is these past 14 years when the New Grace Quartet and I have been going, and my wife have been going to prison. That is the happiest time of my entire life. When I walk in the pulpit, I don't go in there with a chip on my shoulder. I go in there as a child of the King, knowing full well that many of these men are there because of sin. Some of them committed heinous sins. Many of them got many, many years, 40, 50, 60, 100, two life sentences on them. You better have a message of hope and a challenge. Matthew 25:15, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. I've had people say, well, you know, see, it's like I can't teach Sunday schools because I don't have any talents. Well, my dear brother, my dear sister, if you don't have one talent, you don't belong to Jesus, because everyone has at least one. And you need to reinvest them. Go out and use these talents, and then he'll give you more. I tell you, it's there if you want it. Luke 11:9, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. To those who ask the things, the right things. You say, well, Cecil, does Jesus always answer the prayer the way I pray it? Not necessarily, no. And you ought to thank God for that. I sure thank God that he didn't answer all the prayers the way I wanted them. But if it's according to God's divine will, then he will take care of it for you. So you need, you see, the reason people don't have their prayers answered, they ask for things for themselves. Ask for money so they can be comfortable, or they ask for talent that they can run around and tell people, well, look at me. I'm more spiritual than old Jimmy because I have this or I do this or that. Who are you to look down your nose at somebody else? God gives the talent. And I know people who are proud that they're humble. Yeah, they're so proud that they're humble they don't know what to do. John 3:27, John answered and said, a man could receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. All good and perfect gifts come from heaven above. He has a gift for every born-again believer. The greatest gift, of course, is your salvation experience. Now, you want to give God a gift back? You can't buy your salvation. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. But you want to bless the Lord Jesus? Tell you how. Go out and introduce another man or a woman or boy or girl to Christ. That pleases the Lord. Oh, how it pleases. The Bible said, he that winneth souls is wise. Some people are good witnesses. Some are good soul winners. I wished I could tell you that Cecil Moe is a great soul winner. I can't do that. But I am a soul winner. And I've been working at it now for 44 years. And I was taught by one of the greatest preachers I've ever known. No, he wasn't the smartest. No, he wasn't the greatest preacher. But boy, he knew how to teach you the joy of living for the Lord. He taught the abundant life, and the abundant life is when you're out giving of yourself to others. Boy, you know that song that Bill Adlong wrote, all you got in heaven is what you gave away. Some people are not going to get anything when they get there because they never gave anything away. They never gave their talent, they never gave their time, they never gave account of their money. 1 Corinthians 4:7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Now, pride is a terrible thing, and that's what happened in the Corinthian church. They thought they were so blessed spiritual, and here a guy was living with his mother-in-law, and they didn't even say anything about that. And they thought, my, I am spiritual, but they weren't spiritual. Beloved, most of them were carnal. What causes division in churches? Carnal Christians. What causes unhappy Christians? Worldliness and carnality. Now, here's one that I want you to underline. I want you to write it in a book or something. But I want you to do this because this is a tremendous, tremendous verse of Scripture. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him say of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Friends, listen. I know that I am not the smartest man, but don't you think that I don't pray for wisdom. Don't you think I don't pray that God will anoint me so that I can speak with power and authority and love and compassion. If you don't love people, don't call yourself a Christian. Don't do it. We need to love people. When I go to prison, you know, and I tell you something, these black fellas and these Latinos and these white guys come up and they hug my neck. Hi, Brother Mo. We're so glad to see you again. Don't you think that doesn't do something for me? Does that mean I water the word down? Not on your life. I tell them there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And I tell them if they want to live for the Lord, they can be happy while they're in prison. They need to study God's Word. And listen, there's many opportunities that they get to study God's Word. Because there's a lot of people, Christian workers, and they're teaching Bible study. Listen, friends, let me tell you what. Pray for those men. Pray for those women. Pray for me that I'll be a blessing to those men and women. Pray that the quartet will be a blessing to those men and women, because that's what we go there for. And then we go there and we ask them if they'd like to put their trust in Jesus. Wouldn't it be silly to get up there four people and preach and never ask them to come to Christ? That's the most foolish thing I've ever heard. But churches today, many of them don't give an invitation. The pastor, come see me after a while. When the Spirit is calling, you should respond. Now tonight, I'm going to give an invitation like I always do. If the Spirit of the living God is knocking at your heart, you know it. If you're not saved, you know it. Then what do you need to do? You need to humble yourself, bow your head before God, and pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. And then, dear Lord, help me to grow up to be a strong Christian. Help me to be a loving, caring Christian, a witnessing Christian, a soul-winning Christian. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, I'd love to have you get on the phone. Dial 303-471-8534. Now go on that again. 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write, ask you, bunny. I don't care where you go to church. I am terribly concerned where you spend eternity. I'm waiting for your call. 303-471-8534.